Canto 3, Chapter 15. Description of the Kingdom of God. Maitreya said, Diti was afraid that she, by the power of the seed of the great Prajapati, for the time of a century, would destroy the power of others and distress the God-fearing people. The world was deprived of light because of this threat, and thus the local authorities, who saw their power diminished, consulted with the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, about the darkness that expanded in all directions. The demigods said, You, O Mighty One, must be knowing about this darkness we are so very afraid of. Your supreme divinity is not affected by time, and thus nothing is hidden for you. O God of gods, sustainer of the universe, you as the crown jewel of all the guardians of the spiritual and material worlds know about the intentions of all living beings. We offer you, whose strength is found in wisdom, our obeisances. Having obtained this body, composed of external energy, and in acceptance of your distinguished mode of passion, we pay you our respects, O unseen source. Those who are steadfast in their devotion meditate upon you, the origin of all beings, the absolute consisting of the true and untrue, and the self in which all worlds are connected. For souls who are mature in the practice of yoga and have attained your mercy in controlling their senses and mind by means of their breath, there is no defeat in any way. Him whose directions are the lead for all living entities, the way a rope is the lead for a bull, him under whose authority offerings are presented, that most important personality, you, we offer our obeisances. Because of this darkness, we cannot fulfill our prescribed duties. We ask you to act to our good fortune, O great Lord. Please grant us, surrendered souls, the magnanimous mercy of your glance. O God, this semen of Kashyapa, deposited in the womb of Diti, causes complete darkness in all directions, like a fire loaded with too much firewood. Maitreya said, O mighty armed one, he, the self-born one, who in the prayers was addressed as the Supreme Lord, with a smile satisfied the demigods and gave a reply in sweet words. Brahma said, They who before you were born from my mind and are headed by Sanaka, travelled free from expectations the distances between the people of the spiritual and material worlds. Free from all material contamination, they one day entered Vaikuntha, the eternal abode of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, the realm for which one prays in all the worlds. All the persons living there have the same form as the Lord of Vaikuntha and live free from any desire because of their devotional service of continuously worshipping the Supreme Personality. The Lord of all fortune, the original person who is understood through the scriptures, dwells there as the personification of the religious principles in order to accept in his goodness our purity to the greater happiness of us who belong to him. In that realm, where everything is spiritual and personal, there are forests that, for the sake of happiness, yield to all desires with desire trees full of splendid flowers and fruits throughout all the seasons. Living in palaces with their wives, the devotees, free from all inauspicious qualities, are always singing there about the Supreme Lord, while being critical about the by-the-wind-wafted, mind-blowing fragrance of the Madhavi flowers that, full of nectar, are blossoming in the water. When the king of the bumblebees loudly sings the glories of the Lord, the tumult of the pigeons, cuckoos, cranes, chakravakas, and gallinules, swans, parrots, partridges, and peacocks stops for a while. The fragrant Mandara, Kunda, Kurabaka, Utpala, Champaka, Arna, Punaga, Nagakeshara, Bakula, Lily, and Parijata all agree that the tulsi plant, which in the form of a garland is appreciated by him for her smell, best of them all, honors the good spirit of renunciation there. By simply being of obeisance to the Lord's feet, the devotees earned the palaces standing everywhere made of lapis lazuli with emeralds and gold, whose female inhabitants have large hips and beautiful smiling faces. But with their friendly laughing and joking, they, spiritually absorbed in Krishna, never give rise to any lust. In that house of the Lord, sometimes reflected in the crystal clear walls inlaid with gold, the goddess of fortune is seen, who is free from all faults. She then assumes a beautiful form with tinkling bangles at her feet and playing with a lotus flower. That grace of her is something for which the other ladies manifest themselves with the greatest zeal as true scrub women. Surrounded by maidservants, they, in their gardens on coral banks to ponds with pellucid nectarine water, offer tulsi leaves to the Supreme Lord. Seeing the beauty of the locks of the goddess reflected in the water, they thereby imagine the Lord kissing her face. How unfortunate are they who never attain this Vaikuntha creation of the vanquisher of all sin, but rather hear about other subject matters phrased in bad words that kill one's intelligence. Alas, such persons, far removed from the values of life, are devoid of all shelter and cast into the deepest darkness. They who realized the human way of life, who acquired knowledge about the Absolute, and are of the proper code of conduct, the way we, Lord Brahma and the demigods, wish it, but do not succeed in propitiating the Supreme Lord, are alas bewildered by his omnipresent illusory energy. But, following in the footsteps of me, the chief of the demigods, they will go to Vaikuntha, the realm situated above mine, they who, attracted to each other in discussions about the Lord's desirable supreme qualities and glories, feel ecstasy, have tears in their eyes and shiver with their bodies, and thus keep Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, at a distance. Brahma continued. When the sages, headed by Sanaka by dint of their spiritual potency, reached Vaikuntha, they experienced a transcendental ecstasy they never had experienced before. It was the place, radiating with the palaces of the most deserving and learned devotees, where the teacher of the universe rules, who is the object of worship in all the worlds. After passing there through 6 gates without taking much interest, they, at the 7th gate, ran into 2 demigods of the same age, who carried valuable maces, bracelets, earrings, helmets, and beautiful garments. Placed around their necks, there was, between their 4 blue arms, a garland of forest flowers with intoxicated bees around them. But, looking about with their arched eyebrows, restless breathing, and reddish eyes, they seemed somewhat agitated. Seeing them both standing at the gate, the sons of Brahma passed, as they did before, the golden and diamond doors without taking any notice. They, after all, were the great sages who, of their own accord, moved everywhere without being checked or doubted. When they saw them, 4 naked boys of age, who had realized the truth of the self, but who looked as if they were not older than 5 years, the 2 gatekeepers, in disregard of the glory and the etiquette, in an attitude offensive to the Lord, wrongfully blocked their way with their staffs. The moment they were faced with the slight hindrance of the 2 doorkeepers, who, for all the inhabitants of Vaikuntha to see, refused them despite by far being the fittest of the Lord, their eyes, in their eagerness to see their most beloved one, suddenly turned red out of anger. The sages said, "Who are the 2 of you to have attained here the service of the Supreme Lord by dint of your actions in the past? Which devotee, who in him is without anxiety and enmity, can be engaged as false as you? Who in the world, is of such a deceptive mentality like yours that betrays the confidence. No one here is strange to the Supreme Personality who contains all in his abdomen. The living entity has its place in the supersoul the way the small portion of air in one's lungs is part of the air outside. As a sober person, seeing the two of you being dressed up like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, like awakened people who discriminate between body and soul, one wonders how such a fear about him can exist. Therefore, in order to secure the grace of the Lord of Vaikuntha, according to our opinion, the appropriate measure for you, antipathetic minds who consider matters in opposition, is that you both depart from here to the material world where one finds this threefold sin that is the enemy of the living being. The two doorkeepers, who understood that a terrible Brahmin curse had been pronounced by them, a curse that cannot be countered by any weapon, at once stricken with fear for the devotees of the Lord, fell down to grasp their feet in great anxiety. "Let it be so that you have punished us for our sins. A lack of respect for great sages like you cannot go unpunished. But we pray that we, with a bit of your infinite compassion for our repentance, not in a state of illusion will lose the memory of the Supreme Lord when we have to descend to the material world." That very moment the Supreme Lord, from whose navel the lotus sprouted, learned about the offense against the righteous sages. To their delight, he came to the place being accompanied by his goddess of fortune, walking on the very same lotus feet that are sought by the hermits and the wise. Seeing him coming forward with all his associates and paraphernalia, the sages, now seeing the one whom they always had been looking for, fell into ecstasy over the sight of the chamaras that, like beautiful swans, waved the cool breeze that moved the pearls of his white umbrella, making them look like drops of water to a reflected moon. Blessing all with his auspicious face as the desirable shelter, he affectionately looked upon them and touched them, expanding in their hearts. With his blackish skin and his broad chest, decorated by the goddess of fortune, he spread the good fortune as the culmination of the spiritual worlds and the abode of the soul. Covered by yellow cloth, he had a brightly shining girdle around his hips and humming bees about his garland of forest flowers. On his wrists he had lovely bracelets, and while one of his hands rested on the shoulder of the son of Vinata, Garuda, he waved a lotus flower with another one. Shining brighter than lightning, the decoration of his alligator-shaped earrings completed the countenance of his cheeks and straight nose. He wore a gem-studded crown, carried a charming, most precious necklace between his stout arms, and the Kaustubha jewel adorned his neck. With his beautiful decoration meditated upon by his fully attentive devotees, he outshone the smiles of the goddess of beauty. The sages could not get enough of the sight of the very beautiful figure, so worshipable for me and for Shiva, as also for all of you, and that made them joyously bow down their heads. When the breeze, carrying the fragrance of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed Lord, entered their nostrils, they experienced an inner transformation, even though they in body and mind were devoted to the impersonal realization of Brahman. Thereafter, looking up, they saw his face that resembled the inside of a blue lotus, and also saw his even more beautiful jasmine flower lips smiling. Thus having achieved their life's aim, they again looked down at the ruby-red nails of his lotus feet, and then meditated upon their shelter. For those people who seek liberation in this world by the paths of yoga, he is the object of meditation approved by many. With the display of his human form pleasing the eyes, he, eternally present, is praised as endowed with the perfection of the 8 achievements, a perfection that cannot be achieved by others. The Kumara said, "Even though you are seated in the heart, you are not manifest to those who are far removed from the soul. Today, O Unlimited One, we see you face to face, you who through our ears reached our inner being when we heard our Father describe the mysteries of your appearance. You, O Supreme Lord, who with your personality consisting of pure goodness brings delight to all, we now know as the ultimate reality of the soul. This reality, one may, according to the understanding of the sages who are not interested in immaterial life, grasp by your grace in steadfast devotional service with a heart free from attachments. They who follow this practice do not even care about your imperishable beatitude, Kaivalya enlightenment, or about any other minor form of happiness with which they may fear the frowning of your eyebrows. They, O Supreme One, take shelter of your lotus feet and the narrations about your pure glories so worthy to be sung by the very expert knowers of your rasas. From the falsity of the lives we desired, we may be of low births and have minds busy like bees, but if we are engaged in the devotional service at your lotus feet and fill our ears with your transcendental qualities, our words used become as beautiful as the tulsi leaves of your mercy. We obtained so much satisfaction from seeing this eternal form you manifested, O Lord of great renown. Let us therefore offer our obeisances to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord who is recognized by spiritual persons like us, and not by those who are not spiritual."